the Defense Department is planning to replace the Common Access Card by 2018, so it would no longer be the primary way computer users log into DoD networks. It just started testing one of the technologies that might replace the CAC. The Defense Innovation Unit Experimental, DUIX, has reached a deal with a Canadian company to demonstrate technologies that verify a user's identity by constantly monitoring their behavior. Ian Patterson is the CEO of Plurilock Technologies. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about how the system works.
After just 20 minutes of tracking a user's behavior, we build a unique biometric profile associated with that individual. Our patented continuous authentication algorithms enable the platform to know who is on the corporate network, where they are, and when they are there, and to detect and ultimately prevent intruders in real time.
So that profile is built on what sorts of behaviors? What do you actually track?
The way that you type on a keyboard, the way that you move a mouse, where are you physically located, what your pattern of life is. We use a number of factors to do with user behavior, ultimately to build that profile and govern access.
The way the department has talked about using this kind of technology in the past has been as sort of one factor among many, up to 10, I think they've talked about in the past, that they would use to authenticate people on the network or verify that they are who they say they are. So I'm just wondering, in other deployments that you guys have had, what are the other authentication factors, if any, that customers tend to combine your technology with?
I was just recently talking with one of our large banking clients, and they shared a story where they have existing usernames and passwords that they use internally. But as frequently happens, one of their senior IT folks had gotten pulled away, it was last minute, and he accidentally left his computer open and exposed. And I think that we've all seen situations like that, where even if you have the most secure login authentication protocol, it only takes one oops for somebody to leave their terminal unlocked. Now, fortunately, in that situation, there was no damage done, but it doesn't take much imagination to think, you know, if somebody's going through a divorce, if there's been money exchanging hands, suddenly that becomes a liability for that business. So our solution for that is, because we're sitting in the background monitoring continuously, we provide continuous authentication. The second an intruder would sit down and start trying to interact with that desktop, we would be able to stop them in real time.
Right. But important to point out, I think, that this is not necessarily a solution for getting you logged into a network in the first place and replacing a username and password. It's an ongoing authentication that can alert a network administrator that something is amiss here. This person is not who they claim to be.
It's both. We have a number of modular services that can be turned on or turned off. So we can support login as well as continuously throughout the session. For the DoD project in particular, we're looking continuously throughout login, and we're not looking at the log-on phase, but we do support both.
Gotcha. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the work that you're going to be doing for DoD? It sounds like it's just a pilot at this stage, but what exactly is the agreement?
Yeah, we're tremendously excited to work with DIUX on this project, ultimately because they provide a clear and level playing field to choose the best technology based on merit and capabilities. So our role within this project is to help show what can be done with newer innovative technologies, specifically ones using AI, artificial intelligence, and machine learning, to be able to provide an added layer on top of existing authentication solutions.
So are you deploying your product within any particular agency with actual real-life users, or how's it going to work?
Correct. We are deploying this in a combat support agency.
You mentioned earlier desktops, laptops, servers. Is there any way to use this sort of technology, or do you support using this sort of approach on mobile devices, which I know the department is very interested in?
We do, yes. We have a solution for web and SaaS applications, and for that environment, we support any type of device connected to it, which could be a laptop, it could be a tablet, it could be a smartphone. In all cases, we're still looking at that behavior of the user to govern whether they should have access to that particular software suite.
As a practical matter, what actually happens when your product detects that there is an unusual pattern? Are you just locked out of your computer, or does it notify an administrator? What actually happens?
So it's policy-based. So depending on what the organization chooses to do, we can optionally notify the security team in real time. We connect into the security incidents and event monitoring system, the SIM, to provide all that data flowing into the security operations center. But we also work directly on that endpoint to ask the user to re-authenticate. So in a typical example, if you have a situation where there's somebody trying to access a terminal that they don't have permission to do so with, we will pop up a dialogue, ask that user to re-authenticate, and then based on that re-authentication, either grant them access or we may ask to step up to an additional level of authentication. So it's a form of adaptive authentication that we use to really get certainty around the identity of that individual.
It seems like with any security product, there's going to be some percentage of false positives. That's probably not the right word in this exact circumstance. But for example, if I've just had a cup of coffee, I'm probably typing and moving my mouse around a little bit more quickly. If I've got a cold, if I'm feeling off on a particular day, my behavior in those respects is probably a little bit different than on an average day. Do you run into that sort of problem where, you know, people's behaviors are not perfectly consistent day to day?
Human behavior has a degree of variability. It's organic. It's to be expected. The unique technology that PortalLock has is built on 35,000 hours of research that's gone into the continuous authentication algorithms. We have 3 patents on this technology, and ultimately what our core competency is to identify a person. And a person may have variability. They might have coffee in the morning. They might be tired towards the end of the day, but they still retain the unique characteristics of who that person is, and that's what we track throughout the day.
Right, Ian, let me just wrap up by asking you about the DIUX process. It's a fairly new thing for DoD, and I'm just curious what your experience working through that organization has been. I don't know if you've done prior work with the U.S. DoD or the Canadian MOD or any other military organization, but if you have, I'd be interested to hear any compare and contrast that you have as far as the working with the government experience.
Our experience with DIUX has been extremely positive. They provide a facility where ultimately the best technology and the best product wins. And so for somebody like PortalLock, who is getting into the federal space, it's been a really good opportunity for us to show our capabilities and be able to prove what we can do in a real life scenario.
That's Ian Peterson, the CEO of PortalLock Technologies, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.